I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Galaxies. The galaxy we live in, the Milky Way, is marvelous. And every time you look up at the night sky, you consider how lucky we are to be here. However, in learning about our galaxy, that takes us to learning about other galaxies and all the way back to the beginning when galaxies were first born 13.8 billion years ago, minus several hundred million. I welcome Ken Croswell, writing most recently at PNAS, about a galaxy that isn't one of the originals, but resembled what astronomers believe, Ken among them, author of Alchemy of the Heavens, believes was the model of the early galaxies, the earliest to form, gas-heavy galaxies and metal-poor. Ken, correct me. I say only what I've learned from you. They've discovered a galaxy near at hand, merely 5.3 million light years from the Milky Way, called a dwarf galaxy named Leo P, but it's a revelation about the early cosmos. Why? Good evening to you, Ken.
Good evening, John. The simple answer to that question is because this galaxy resembles the very first galaxies that ever formed after the Big Bang. 13.8 billion years ago. Theory says that the very first galaxies to form were small. They were metal poor. That means they lacked heavy elements like oxygen and carbon. And that's because they had formed just right after the Big Bang, which produced hydrogen, helium, and only a little bit of lithium. And that's really about it until stars started making the heavier elements like oxygen and carbon. This galaxy is also making new stars. And the very first galaxies to form were making stars at a furious rate. So in all these properties, Leo P, which was discovered just 10 years ago in 2012, resembles those galaxies. But the difference is Leo P is just 5.3 million light years away. That's only twice as far as the Andromeda galaxy. So it's much easier to observe Leo P than it is to search for galaxies over 13 billion light years away, which is what we would have to do in order to study the very first galaxies that formed. So that's the great advantage of studying Leo P. It's much, much closer to us. And so we can use Hubble and other telescopes to study it very well.
So the theory is, the thinking is, 600 to 800 million years after year one, whatever, the bang, galaxies looked like this, and they were made up chiefly of gas. Is that the thinking?
Yes, they were small. They were very gas-rich because they had not yet converted most of their gas into stars. They were making new stars, and they were metal poor, poor in elements like oxygen, which we astronomers call a metal. We astronomers call all elements heavier than hydrogen and helium metals. And so, yes, we think that's what the very first galaxies were like. And then many of them merged to give birth to giant galaxies like the Milky Way and like the Andromeda galaxy. But back then, all the galaxies were very small. And we'd love to see those small galaxies directly, but we can't because they're so far away. But here we have on our doorstep a galaxy that very much resembles the very first galaxies to form. It was discovered in 2012 through its radio waves, not through optical light. And it was named Leo P because when astronomers measured its level of metals, they discovered it was very, very metal poor. And the P stands for pristine, so very pristine gas similar to that came out of the Big Bang.
I asked you to explain the mechanism you report, the mechanism that permitted, that allowed these early galaxies using ultraviolet light to ionize the early universe? How does it work, Ken? What is the formula?
Okay, what we think happened is that the very first stars emitted extreme ultraviolet radiation. Now, this is ultraviolet that is much shorter in wavelength than the same ultraviolet that gives us vitamin D when it comes to us from the sun. Okay, and the photons of that extreme ultraviolet light carry more energy, and enough energy, in fact, to split the hydrogen, the two components of the hydrogen atom, which are the proton and the electron. And that means that you end up with a positively charged atomic nucleus, which is the proton, and the negatively charged electron that are now separate. And so that's what happened, we think, 600 to 800 million years ago. And we think it was primarily stars, the first stars, that did it because they were so hot and emitting so much extreme ultraviolet light that they were able to do that. And the thing is, the universe has been ionized ever since. And so cosmologists and astronomers would very much like to better understand that transformation in the universe that occurred at that time, which is called reionization.
One more explanation, Ken. Metals, everything heavier than hydrogen and helium is a metal. Where do those elements come from?
Those elements, almost all of them, come from stars in one way or another. So, for example, the oxygen that we're now breathing came from massive stars that then released that oxygen into space when they exploded at the ends of their lives. The nitrogen that is makes up most of our atmosphere came from, in contrast, stars that did not explode, stars that simply cast off their outer atmospheres after they became red giants. So, in one way or another, stars make most of the heavy elements in the universe, and those are the elements, of course, that we living beings depend upon, because without oxygen and nitrogen and carbon and iron, there's no way you're going to have human life.
That's how galaxies worked early in the life of the cosmos creation. Now we go to Leo P and why it exists in such a pristine state. It's something that Ken has called in his article Goldilocks. How did it survive 13 or however many billions of years out there without being ripped apart?
Well, it very wisely chose to avoid any big galaxies like the Milky Way or the Andromeda Galaxy. Leo P happens to be in a perfect place. It's just outside the local group of galaxies. The local group of galaxies contains more than 100 known galaxies, including, of course, the Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way, which are the two largest, along with a whole bunch of dwarf galaxies. However, any galaxy that's in the local group runs the risk of getting too close to either Andromeda or the Milky Way. And if that happens, then one of those big galaxies will rob the dwarf galaxy of its gas. And in fact, there's some 60 galaxies that orbit the Milky Way. And the Milky Way has robbed most of those satellite galaxies of their gas. In contrast, Leo P is just outside the local group, and so it's isolated. It's been able to hold on to its gas and just very, very slowly over the eons crank out new stars without any interference from other galaxies. And the great thing about that is because it's quite close to us, only 5.3 million light years away, we're able to observe it very clearly with Hubble and other instruments.
You report that Leo P has lost 95% of the oxygen it has made. Where did it go?
It went out into intergalactic space. When stars exploded in Leo P, most of the oxygen that they were, that normally would have been pumped right back into the galaxy left the galaxy altogether because the galaxy is so small. It has such a weak gravitational grasp that it just cannot hold on to the heavy elements that it makes. So that's one reason that Leo P has stayed so very metal poor over 13.8 billion years of cosmic history. And the other reason is simply it does not have many stars. So there's not many stars to create the oxygen in the first place. So the oxygen to hydrogen ratio in Leo P is only about 3% that in the sun. which is almost a record for a galaxy, almost a record low for a galaxy.
You also report it has a loose association of dwarfs. Are there lots of these dwarfs, Ken? Is this commonplace? And what? And are there other dwarfs like Leope defined?
Yes, yes, to all of that. Yeah, dwarf galaxies are the most common type of galaxy in the universe, but we can only see them if they're fairly nearby. I mean, the big ones, like the Milky Way, stand out. You know, we can see a galaxy like the Milky Way from a billion light years away, but the dwarf galaxies are fainter, they're smaller, they're harder to see. So they have to be fairly near us in order for us to find them. In the case of Leope, we discovered it just a decade ago. It's part of an association of dwarf galaxies called the NGC 3109 Association. And unlike the local group, that association does not have any giant galaxies. And so those dwarf galaxies there, they don't get much interference from any big galaxies, and they don't get much interference even from each other.
Is Leope moving away from us or towards us? I know Andromeda and the Milky Way are going to collide in X number of billions of years. Is that the fate of Leope and others like it? It will collide with a bigger galaxy?
Well, right now, Leope is moving away from us slowly. And if it continues on that trajectory, then it's not ever going to collide with us. On the other hand, it's entirely possible that this association that it's part of may end up falling into the local group. So that much smaller association could become part of the local group if you wait a few billion years. But there's no reason to think that Leope is going to come crashing into the Milky Way or anything like that.
There are secrets in Leope, but before we go to the rotators, the secrets of this dwarf galaxy, Ken, are there planets in there? Do we speculate? Because you say it was a primitive galaxy. Does that mean primitive galaxies had or did not have planets?
We don't know. When you have, it takes metals to make planets. Okay, the Earth, the solid Earth is made mostly of iron and oxygen. Those are the two most abundant elements in the solid Earth. Okay, so without those elements, it's hard to make a planet. So the truth is, we don't know if you can make a planet with a very low metallicity the way Leope has. So my guess is it might be harder to form planets in Leope, but it's entirely possible there still might be some planets in that galaxy.
Right. What we're discovering is when studying exoplanets, every possible combination, including ones that we've never entertained or thought were impossible, we're discovering many of those. So discovering planets inside Leope is possible. I'm not saying it's likely, it's possible.
Well, it would be very difficult to find them from a distance of 5.3 million light years. So even though, you know, I'm talking about this galaxy being very close, it's still well outside the Milky Way. And the planets we have found have been inside the Milky Way, typically within a few thousand light years of the sun. So Leope is close to us in the sense that it's a lot closer than a galaxy 13 billion light years away, the very first galaxies that ever formed. But it's quite far away compared with the known extrasolar planets.
We're going inside Leope when we come back. Fast rotators. This is an article that Ken Croswell has published at PNAS, and the fast rotators are also giving up secrets. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.